Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're actually still in chapter 27. This is the continuation, chapter 27 of Matthew, with its 66 verses. And we left off at what verse yesterday?
22,
so we still have quite a few. And then we also have the commentary, and the translation and the commentary. And then also we still must do part 10 of regeneration. But right now, let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint the rest of this message. Lord God, we thank you and praise you for your Spirit, your anointing Spirit, which you call the baptism in the Holy Spirit. After we are saved, we're filled with your Spirit inwardly. Then we receive, because you have a desire for us to be in the ministry, to minister your word, you give us the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And this is the anointing that we must have in order to minister your word, to preach it, teach it, and to be able to have the power to live it. Because that is the most important thing. Everybody can talk, everybody can preach and teach. Many people can anyway, but it's very rare, very precious and rare that you see people that keep it. And in order to do that, we must have that power, that anointing power. So, Lord, we ask that you open the hearts and souls of the people out in the world. All of us have spirits. And whether people realize it or not, the spirit that's in us looks identical to the outward body. It has eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and it is our very being. This physical body of ours is just a carrying case, a temporal carrying case for that spirit that's in us to live. And then when your spirit enters us, then our spirit is no longer temporal, but it becomes permanent, or it has eternal, immortal life, the life of God, the life of you, Father. And so we ask that you pour out that spirit and open the spiritual ears and eyes of the people that they actually have. Let them not be blind any longer, Lord, and let them receive the word. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord says. The word of the Lord is spirit and life. And Lord, let them be able to see you. Now, your word says that no man can see God and live. That's why we must no longer live according to our own will, because then we would not be able to see or hear your word. So we have to forfeit, give up our old life, and deny ourselves, take up the cross so that we can see you. It's very important that we see you, that we see and understand you. And you are the Word. And the Bible, your Word, says that Jesus is the Word of God and that he came into the world in the flesh. This is all in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. And so, Lord, we ask that you minister your Spirit through me on this tape, and that it reaches everyone that you have selected from before the foundation of the world to be saved, to be filled with your Spirit, and to be anointed also with your outward anointing, that they also can join the ministry and have the power to continue on in the ministry to the end. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, so let's, we have a couple of letters here that we're going to read anyway, because it's our the way that we do these tapes. And here's a couple more letters, one from India and one from Africa. Amen?
Amen.
Go ahead.
The first one's from Hyderabad, India. Greetings to the beloved Tony Alamo. The Lord has blessed me by having your soul-winning literature and knowing that you are led by the Spirit of God and reaping this end-time harvest. May the Lord richly reward and honor you at the great day of his judgment. My soul has been assured with joy by the reading of your literature. Beloved Pastor, I would like to become part of the Tony Alamo soul-winning ministry, so kindly send some copies of your literature and Telugu Bibles. Brother, I want to take the gospel of Christ to India. However, my request is so great, please send the above for our local soul-winning realm. Please accept me as one of your servants and help this poor worker, although we shall never meet each other on this side of heaven and worship the Lord.
And will not be my servant, for all servants of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And we'll be glad to help you, brother, so that you are like we are, just servants of the Lord. That we just walk the straight and narrow one day at a time. Don't think of it as 2 days at a time or a year or a week, because we don't know that we're going to be here tomorrow. So just one day at a time, the Lord instructs us to not worry about tomorrow, because sufficient is the evil of this day right here. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's just follow his instructions and just don't worry about mañana or tomorrow, okay? Let's go.
Brother, I am working with Pastor B. Rao in the Hyderabad area since August 4th, 2004. Kindly continue to encourage me and pray about my services that I am doing for the Lord. Brother, truly, I want to serve the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Brother, I want to tell you I went many places, and I distributed the literature to many churches.
See, the last shall be first. Can't you see the zeal in this man?
Mm-hmm.
Go into churches and see if there's this kind of zeal in them, if they really are like this. The dead ones are dead. They don't have this zeal anymore. And so the Lord has pulled them out of his mouth, and they no longer feel obligated to be merciful to the unsaved. And the Bible says, he that sows mercy shall reap mercy, but those that have no mercy whatsoever will receive no mercy on the last day. All right, then what?
Many people got saved. I am going to preach the gospel in Vanas Talipuram. Pray and regularly support me to start this ministry.
All you brothers and sisters out there, pray for this man. Amen?
Amen.
This brother. Praise God. I just love all these people that I see that have that zeal. Because even in our own church, people have been saved, born again here for over 30 years. And some of them just have no zeal. And the new ones that are coming in are just full of fire. In the Los Angeles church, I usually choose the younger ones to bring the messages and open the services, because they're really on fire for the Lord. They love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. To shame these older ones. Some of them are so dead that they don't even, when a person says something, you know, they don't even remember the things that the messages have said, what the Bible tells them to do, to come back. They'll say negative things, but there's always something positive if you're in the spirit that the Lord will give you to tell them. But they just don't. Okay, then keep going. But this is wonderful to hear this, you know. I keep them going, they say, and they sure keep me going. I just see, I just love all these brothers and sisters that are alive in the Lord. Then what else? See, deadness is not alive. But these people are alive. They want to preach the gospel to everybody in India, he says. Some people don't even want to preach the gospel in Dyer, Arkansas. They never even think about that. They're just into mischief all day long. Some are into the people's diets and things like that, far more than they are into the healing of the Lord. All right, then what?
I would like to have special prayer for that vision. I need many Bibles to distribute to our local villages in Hyderabad area.
Can't you see the difference between these young ones, that the Lord says the last will be first and the first will be last? Okay, can't you see that?
Yes.
Amen. Then what?
I am praying for you and your ministry. Brother, I gave some of your gospel literature to my friends who didn't know anything about God, and now they have all repented from their sins. They have all chosen God as their personal Savior.
See, if this person wasn't zealous, he wouldn't have done that, and therefore his friends would not be saved. So when you don't have any zeal to serve the Lord, there's no productivity that comes out. You can't produce anything. You're not resourceful. And you're not going to bear any fruit or win souls or carry sheaves unto the Lord. When we get up before the throne of the Lord is going to say, where are the souls that I had designated for you to witness to in your realm? Some of you throw souls. Anybody that gets near you, you're so vicious and poisonous and everything that they just get bummed out and they leave the church. They just want to get away from you. But there are others that see the tongue has the power to kill or to make alive. And some people don't study enough. They just have the, well, yeah, that's the way. I'm just bummed out all the time. And if somebody isn't entertaining me, well, then I just, or if somebody isn't around, my husband's out in the gospel field doing something for the Lord, and because of the fact he's not here, I guess I could, that means I can go out and commit adultery or fornication. And, yeah, that's just the way I think. I think, instead of what the Lord thinks. Paul cautions people, commands them, put on the mind of Christ. Stop thinking with your dunce head. Because, you know, if it was possible, I would have many people in the churches around the world have a head transplant. But, of course, that doesn't work, you know. Amen?
Amen.
They need to have an infusion. You can't do that, so what I do is preach the gospel to them and put them to shame, you know, with the word. And show them through these young Christians, you know, how precious they are to the Lord and how profitable they are to Him. And how unprofitable they are. You unprofitable servants. Get out into outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You don't profit the gospel at all. All you do is you just waste as much as you can the church. You're not even a husband. You're not even a wife. You're nothing. And the Lord doesn't want you to be a nothing. Repent or perish. Then what?
They are sending the word of God to others. They are saying that God has changed them, so they will always follow God.
See, these new ones that just got saved from him distributing my literature to them, they want to go to everybody. That's a sure sign that a person is a Christian. If you don't have that zeal to do that, you are not saved. You're not a Christian. Or you were, but you fell away from the Lord. And that's a sign of the coming of the Lord, too. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that there would be a great falling away. And that Satan would sit down in the temple of God. Don't you know that you're the temple of God? So many people are waiting for them to build a temple, the temple of God in Israel. The temple of God is not built with human hands. The temple of God is you. Know you not that you are the temple of God and that you don't belong to yourself? The Spirit of God, is, if He's in you with Christ, with the Father by the Spirit, then you're more than capable in doing the work, but you just are involved with too many distractions of the world. You like country music or rock and roll or rap and all these things, and none of these things have any virtue of the Spirit of God in them. They have no life in them. And you're not going to get any good reward by listening to all that garbage. Okay? Now, I hear all that stuff, but my mind is on the Lord. But many of you people, you hear it and you get caught up into it. I see you start, you know, gyrating around. You have to keep your mind on the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
There's mosquitoes around, too, but I don't let them bite me. Amen?
Amen.
There's snakes around, but I won't let them bite me. There's all kinds of distractions around. Don't let the devil bite you. And don't let the dog bite you. Amen?
Amen.
If I had a dog that bit me when I was a kid, I used to bite them back. I got that fighter spirit in me. Or have their teeth removed. They have to gum you. Okay, then what?
Glory to God. Brother, we are praying hard that your ministry will develop.
Oh, it's always developing, and I praise the Lord for your prayers. Amen. Then what?
Pastor, my problem is I don't have regular family support from any ministry. Brother, please pray for my regular support. Brother, your continued prayer support would mean a lot of help in continuation of my gospel services. So please help me.
All you brothers and sisters, you prayer warriors out there, pray for this man. He's begging you for it, and me, all right? So everyone in this ministry and every ministry in the world that's here in the state, pray for your brothers and sisters, because they're part of the Lord's body just like you are. Then what?
I am anxiously and prayerfully looking forward to your reply. Thank you in the holy name of Jesus Christ. In his service, Pastor S. Suresh in Hyderabad, India.
All right. Well, make sure that you send him a note stating that we read his letter on our radio program, and that we have recruited all the people in Radioland to pray for him. And anything he needs for the ministry, like Bibles or tapes, tape players, or CD players, we're going to start recording in CD now. What do they call it? CD, right?
Yeah.
I'm from the old school. I just know tapes and recordings, records. But let them know that we're really with them. And backing up ministry and all the other ministries, back us up so that you can get a good reward from the Lord. Don't be a blight in the church, a devil. Get on fire. Then what else?
The next letter is from Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Respected and beloved pastor, may the peace of the Almighty God be multiplied unto you as you serve the Lord in your ministry. I am much delighted to communicate with you, and I hope my humble letter will meet you in good condition of health. One morning on my way to church, I came across a man of God who was distributing your wonderful literature along the street, and he gave me one to read through. So after church service, I read through it, and in fact, the message has touched my heart. So later, I discussed it with my family members, and by doing so, it has changed the entire life of my family. Of course, it has been a great blessing to us all. For that reason, I thank God for your message. Please, Pastor, I am appealing to you to come to my aid by sending me some of your magazines and my family members. I shall be grateful if you could send me some of your gospel tapes and a tape recorder to listen to your preachings and music. May the God of heaven bless you and your family as well as your ministry. Yours in Christ, E.A. from Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord. You know, those Africans and people from India and the Philippines and many other places in the world are really on fire. And I'm starting to see, you know, we started the Jesus movement, the God did through Susie and myself here in the United States and throughout the world. And the government, one world government, has tried to destroy this work on many occasions by taking all of our worldly goods away from us and then putting me in prison. And we've seen all sorts of false things about us in the news media, which is also the devil's voice, Satan's voice. The Bible says that Satan would be given a voice, the Antichrist, and that's your news media at large. And the Lord has just given us even more than we had before, because you cannot destroy God's work. And it is God's work because we let God do his work in and through us. It's not something that you should take lightly when you're hearing these messages. These people here, on these letters, you can tell they're not taking these messages that the Lord has given me. They're not taking them lightly. They really are their lifeline. Their lifeline. Okay, then, what else? Is that it? Now we're back to chapter 27. In the book of Matthew, and we're starting out at verse what?
22,
and we've got 66 verses, 22, so it's about 40 some verses left, right? 44 verses. What else? My math is not so good today. It's usually very good, but you'll excuse me. What else? Go ahead.
Verse 22.
Yes.
Quote, "But if I release Barabbas," unquote, Pilate asked, quote, "then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah," unquote. And they all shouted, quote, "Crucify him," exclamation point, unquote.
See, that's what they're doing here in this Roman Empire world today, is they're saying, who should we release, the homosexuals, or should we crucify the Word of God? Yeah, turn the homosexuals, the lesbians loose, the killers, the people that are aborting, killing millions and millions, hundreds of millions of children, turn them loose and let's kill the Christians. Isn't that what's happening today?
Yes.
Let's take the Word of God out of schools. We don't want people hearing the truth. This is Satan, one who wants to destroy your soul. And if you're so crazy or so stupid that you want that to happen to you, then realize one thing. You have heard the truth, and you're responsible. And you will not be able to get around the corners with the Lord, say, well, we didn't know. Yes, you do know. You're responsible. The Lord is strict, and he wants you to be strict. He's straight and narrow, and he wants you to be straight and narrow. He was crucified. He wants you to take up your cross and be crucified and deny yourself and walk the straight and narrow. Now, remember that, because it's the truth. It's the only, it's the blueprint for you to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, go ahead. Yeah, crucify Jesus. Crucify God. Try that, and you're going to be crucified, worse than crucified, throughout eternity. You're going to hell, into the lake of fire, where there's hundreds of millions and billions of torments. And you'll be gnawing on your tongue throughout eternity for the pain. And you won't drink a drop. You're living in luxury now. You know, the devil's got everybody pretty much on luxury, because if you're a deadbeat, they'll give you government aid, food stamps. I'm not saying that these people that didn't listen to the warnings of the hurricane in New Orleans, that they don't need some kind of government aid. If they'd come to the church, they could have our aid. The mayor of this town called us up and said, would you feed someone? We said, sure, send them over. But they didn't want to come to a church, our church, because they know we're the real thing, the real deal. They wanted to go to this other area, another town close by. They didn't want to come that close to God. And then what?
Verse 23, quote, why, unquote, Pilate demanded, quote, what crime has he committed, unquote. But the crowd only roared the louder, quote, crucify him, exclamation point, unquote. Verse 24, Pilate saw that he wasn't getting anywhere and that a riot was developing. So he sent for a bowl of water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, quote, I am innocent of the blood of this man. The responsibility is yours, exclamation point, unquote. Verse 25, and all the
people... And you know, the responsibility did fall on the Jews. God blinded them. He says, you'll have money, but you will not have me. And he blinded them, and he allowed this Roman government to not crucify them, but to put them in the ovens over in Germany, Poland, Czechoslovakia. Jews, you know, my real name is Bernie Lazar Hoffman. I changed my name to Tony Alamo years ago. Jews accept the Jewish Messiah so that the Lord can start fighting for you. He will not fight for you if you reject him. Now, we've been given blindness to spiritual matters for years. I thank God that he took the blinder, the blindness away from me, the spiritual blindness. My natural eyes are not that hot. I don't see much. But I can tell you one thing, I see spiritually extremely well. I know the Spirit of God. And any Jew that asks the Lord, if what Tony Alamo or Bernie Lazar Hoffman is saying to us, or any other Christian, not the false Christians, Bush is not a Christian, he's a Catholic. He's built shrines and monuments unto the Pope and the Catholic cult. But we are Christians. We would never bomb anybody or use carnal weapons, but he does. And former President Clinton is not a Christian. He's a phony. And a phony is a $45.50 bill or a $13.25 bill. Now, I really pray for these men, and I pray that, you know, I really like the man is, because I've eaten pie and coffee, drank coffee with him, had a little snack with President Clinton when he was the governor. And he's even mentioned me in his book that he just recently written. He's written about Susie and myself in two pages of his book. And a lot of people say, my God, who are you? You know that the president should be thinking about you enough to put two full pages about you in his book. Well, he didn't say anything very kind. He said I was a great promoter and Susie was a great preacher, and that when Susie died, that I'd lost my ability, I didn't have anything else to promote. Well, Let's put it this way. I'm not, God is the big promoter. He's the one that's promoting us. Amen?
Amen.
And he was the one that promoted Susie and myself. I never did promote us. All we did is preach the gospel and promoted the Lord, and the Lord promoted us. He lifted us up. He'll do the same thing for you. We're just ordinary human beings. Amen?
Amen.
And if we're saved, if I could be saved, you could be saved. Amen?
Amen?
If you just choose to be saved. All right, then what?
Verse 25, and all the people yelled back, quote, "We will take responsibility for his death, we and our children!" Exclamation.
Okay, well, the responsibility, you wanted that? Well, that's why they're being persecuted so much over there in Israel today. And if they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that persecution will go away, and all these people that are troubling them, God will come down and start fighting for them. And I'll tell you, God really loves you Jewish people, but he doesn't love the way you are. He wants you to believe on the Word of God. And all the 333 prophecies in the Old Testament of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now, the Bible states that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the Old Testament. And it says that he'd be cut off of the sins of the world. He'd be nailed, have nail-pierced hands and feet. He'd die on a tree, a cross. And that he would be cut off for the sins of the entire world and for those that accept him. But if you don't, you're in trouble. He'll curse you. And he has cursed you, Jews. There's no peace in your life. You don't know whether a bus is going to explode on you or somebody's going to throw a grenade in on you over there. And really nobody does. The Bible said in the last days, just before Christ comes back to earth again, that all peace would be taken from off the face of this earth. And that's where we're at, brothers and sisters. That's where we are. We're there right now. Nobody knows. Everybody in the back of their mind figures, will it be me today? When I'm driving down the highway in Los Angeles, where we also live, we have a little bungalow there. Almost every day for a long time, there was a shooting. Somebody from off the side of the freeway would kill somebody that's driving down the freeway. They're just singing and listening to rock and roll or rap music, and bam, a bullet goes right through their head, and they're dead. It's in the news. Can't you see it? Can't you see the curses? Can't you see all the plagues in the world, all the diseases, all the deaths, and the tsunamis, and these hurricanes, and the tornadoes, and the earthquakes? It's all here now. This has never been this way before. Any of us that are past 50 years old, 60 years old, we've never seen anything like this before, because it's the end of time. All these prophecies are being fulfilled. Those of you that are just babies, just, 20 years old or under, or 25 or 30 or even 30 and under, you've never seen, you just think that this is the way it always was. It wasn't this way before. It just seemed very peaceful in the world before these last days, the last 50 years. I'm 71 years old this month, September 20th, 2005. 71 years old. So, it was never this way before. Even up to the time when I was around 25 years old, then it started going crazy, the whole world. And then as I got older, it just gets crazier and crazier and sicker and more despicable, and more peace is taken away from the people of Earth. Now, as far as I'm concerned, to me, I've got peace of mind that I know that if I get shot or somebody puts a bullet through my head or something, that my soul, my spirit's going to go right out of my body. I'll be right in heaven. And whoever did it made my day. Okay? I'm not worried about it. I've lived a full life. I've done everything in the world before I was saved. And I saw that there's nothing out there that took great enjoyment. And because I did so much of it, I had so much money that I could really sin. Some of you people are so poverty-stricken, but you think if you've got a good meal in your stomach, got all the wrinkles out of your belly because the government gave you a 5-pound block of cheese and a bag of rice and flour or something like that, you think you're king of the hill. You don't know what it's like to have multi-millions of dollars and be able to eat it and go to the places like Basin Street East when it used to be open, Birdland, and all the different high spots in New York, the better places to eat. You don't know, or to drive the best of cars and dress in the best of clothing and all that. I know all that, to live at the best where all the kings and queens live. I've lived at the Plaza Hotel, Trump Plaza Hotel in New York, and many other places similar to that. And I could see no pleasure in it whatsoever. I own a Beatles album worth over $100 million. I won't sell it. I've had it for over 40 years now, and I won't sell it because I want people to know that I'm not in the ministry for money. Do you ever hear me asking you for anything? I'm telling you, I want to help you. A true work of the Lord is one that gives, not takes. And I'm not promising you prosperity, monetary, worldly prosperity, because the Bible tells us to lay not up the prosperity for of the world for yourselves, but lay up prosperity for the kingdom of God. Start living the life of the Lord, and don't worry about how much you have or don't have. Amen?
Amen.
Serve the Lord and be blessed. Okay, let's go. Continue on.
Verse 26. So Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to crucify him.
See, the Roman Catholic soldiers. And it's just the same way today. Rome is crucifying. They killed David Koresh and said he was a cult. They tried to kill us. They were saying that I was a cult. You see, anyone that's not a Catholic, that doesn't belong to the Catholic cult, they say they're a cult. And they have the news media to keep pounding that into your brain. They want you to believe that everyone other than Catholics are cults. They want you to stick in your brain like the hair in a drain. And it's in most people's brains today. God said that the whole world would be deceived in the last days. Are you part of that world that's deceived, or are you receiving what the Lord says? Are you going to do? Because the Lord, all Satan wants to do is just destroy your soul. That's all. Send your soul to an everlasting burning pit, a lake of fire. Okay, then what?
The soldiers mock Jesus. Verse 27. Some of the governor's soldiers took Jesus into their headquarters and brought out the entire battalion. Verse 28, they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. Verse 29, they made a crown of long, sharp thorns and put it on his head, and they placed a stick in his right hand as a scepter. Then they knelt before him in mockery, yelling, quote, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Exclamation point, unquote. Verse 30, and they spit on him and grabbed the stick and beat him on the head with it.
But did the Lord get weary of well-doing? No, he just let him continue on. He just let him continue on, because if he hadn't died on the cross and given his life, there's no way we could have been saved if he hadn't shed his blood and died for us and then gone to hell for us for 3 days and three nights and then raised on the third day from the dead, showing that he was God, so that you could believe everything that he said, because nobody else has ever risen from the dead by themselves. He said, I lay my life down. Nobody could take it because I'm God, if I don't want them to, and I'm going to raise myself up by the Holy Spirit. So this is God. And then over 500 people saw him ascend up into the kingdom of heaven around 40 days later. So there's plenty of evidence, and I've seen the Lord. He appeared before me right with my eyes open in a very pitch dark room. He just lit up the whole room in a mirror. It was an oval shaped mirror, and I saw him, and he started talking to me, but I couldn't understand what he was saying because it was like a radio being turned off and on, and he was like letting me know that I wasn't free, just reading bits and pieces of the Bible. He's imploring me to learn the Bible, because you're going to be doing a big work one of these days for me. You've got to know the Bible, because there's so few people that know it. And there's so many other people that don't preach it. The majority of the people that call themselves, quote, churches, unquote, those people don't know the Bible and they don't preach it. And so he really cautioned me, Yeah, very straight away. I thought he was taking me then, and he says, not yet. And that was the most disappointing thing that ever happened to me in my life, because I wanted to be with the Lord. It looked so beautiful over there in heaven. All right, continue.
Verse 31. And when they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to be crucified. The crucifixion. Verse 32. As they went along the way, they came across a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, and they forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Verse 33. Then they went out to a place called Golgotha, which means, quote, Skull Hill, unquote. Verse 34. The soldiers gave him wine mixed with bitter gall, but when he had tasted it, he refused to drink it. Verse 35. After they had nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Verse 36. Then they sat around and kept guard as he hung there. Verse 37. A signboard was fastened to the cross above Jesus' head, announcing the charge against him. It read, quote, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews, unquote. Verse 38. Two criminals were crucified with him, their cross on either side of his. Verse 39. And the people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. Verse 40. Quote, so, exclamation point, you can destroy the temple and build it again in 3 days, can you? Well, then, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross, exclamation point, unquote. Verse 41. The leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the other leaders also mocked Jesus. Verse 42, quote, he saved others, unquote, they scoffed. Quote, but he cannot save himself.
Yeah, if he would have come down from the cross, there's no way we could have been saved. No way. Okay, so go ahead.
So he is the King of Israel, is he? Then let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him, exclamation
point.
Yeah,
that is sure. Sure, and then we wouldn't be able to be saved. He had to do that. It was prophecy. He knew he had to be faithful to the Lord, to the Father, to the end, for our sakes. Okay, then what?
Verse 43. He trusted God. Let God show his approval by delivering him.
No, that would not please God. God sent him here to die for our sins. He's the Lamb of God. There's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And we receive the shedding of blood of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And when we do, we can be saved. The Spirit enters us of God. The Spirit of Christ with the Father by the Spirit enters us. And then we have the power to keep his commandments. Then what?
He said, I am the Son of God, unquote. Verse 44, and the criminals who were crucified with him also shouted the same insults at him. The death of Jesus, verse 45, at noon darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Verse 46, at about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, quote, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, unquote, which means, quote, my God, for this cause have I come into the world, unquote.
Yeah, right. The misinterpretation of the King James Version says, why hast thou forsaken me? That the translators didn't understand Aramaic, and Jesus spoke Aramaic and Hebrew, and it really said the Lord knew that God never forsook him. All the time he said that the Lord, that he was going to die for the sins of the world, and that he would raise on the third day, and so what he really said was, for this cause came I into the world. A little dot can change the whole meaning in Aramaic to something else. Just like where it says that it's easier for a rich man to get into, it's harder for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven than it is for a rope to go through the eyes of a needle. The difference between rope and camel is like one dot. It's like an S turned sideways and then a dot in the on the top, and then a dot on the bottom. Well, they left a dot out, and that means camel. If they put the dot in, the other dot in, it means rope. So, Aramaic is an old, ancient language that very few people understand today. And Mr. Lamsa has written the Aramaic Bible, and you'll see the different parts of the King James Bible, a few of them. Not a lot. The King James is a very good Bible, but the translators always the original, the Hebrew and Aramaic and the Hellenic Greek is always the best, but if you don't know how to read Hebrew, Aramaic, or Greek, you have to study the Bible in all different manners like that in order to be able to know the truth. So get an Aramaic Bible by Lampsa. What's his first name? Who?
George
Lampsa. It's in the Bible bookstores. And then read the first part of it there so you can see that what I'm telling you is the truth. All right. Then what else?
Verse 47. Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. Verse 48. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it out to him on a stick so he could drink. Verse 49. But the rest said, quote, "Leave him alone. Let's see whether Elijah will come and save him," unquote. Verse 50. Then Jesus shouted out again, and he gave up his spirit. Verse 51. At that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart. Verse 52. And tombs opened, and the bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. Verse 53. After Jesus' resurrection, they left the cemetery and went to the holy city of Jerusalem. And
now, isn't that something? Not only Christ resurrected then, but all these godly men and women that have been dead for years. People knew them around town, and here they are walking around. They said, "I thought you was dead. Gosh, you've been missing now for 10, 15, 20 years. What happened?" Well, the Spirit of the Lord was so powerful it pulled Jesus up from the dead, that it also yanked some of the people up out of their graves. Do you know that the Bible says that everyone is going to be raised on the last day, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting destruction? The Spirit of God is what holds this earth in mid-air and all the other planets and stars, and causes everything to be the way that it is in the heavens, in the celestial cosmos. So don't underestimate God's power. He knows everything, and he has unlimited power, unexhaustible power. It never grows weak. God never gets tired, and his power never diminishes. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 53. After Jesus' resurrection, they left the cemetery and went to the holy city of Jerusalem and appeared to many people. Verse 54. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, quote, "Truly, this was the Son of God!" Exclamation point, unquote.
Yeah, if you've seen the crucifixion there, and then you see the resurrection, and then you see all these people walking around from the dead, you'd have to believe that truly this man was the Son of God. As a matter of fact, this man is God. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible plainly tells us that Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word came into this world as a man in the flesh and dwelt among us and taught us the ways of God. So God can do all these things. Only he can do that. So that even those reprobates back then said, truly, this is God. Because nobody could have yanked all these people out of the soil. Amen?
Amen.
And seen them walking around town. Godly people. What on earth has happened? This is God. God, this all happened right at the time of Jesus here, you know? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Verse 55. And many women who had come from Galilee with Jesus to care for him were watching from a distance. Verse 56. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and Zebedee's wife, the mother of James and John. The burial of Jesus, verse 57. As the evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea, who was one of Jesus' followers, verse 58, went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate issued an order to release it to him. Verse 59. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a long linen cloth. Verse 60, he placed it in his own new tomb, which he had carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance as he left. Verse 61, both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting nearby watching. The guard of the tomb. verse 62. The next day, on the first day of the Passover ceremonies, the leading priests and the Pharisees went to see Pilate. Verse 63. They told him, quote, "Sir, we remember what the deceiver once said while he was still alive. After 3 days I will be raised from the dead." Verse 64. "So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body and then telling everyone he came back to life!" Exclamation point. "If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at the first." Unquote. Verse 65. Pilate replied, quote, "Take guards and secure it the best you can." Unquote. Verse 66. So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it.
All right, that was the 66 verses of chapter 27 of Matthew, and now we have, and that was the translation, and now the commentary.
Chapter 27, verses 3 through 8. Religious leaders refused to accept the blood money that Judas tried to return. It may have been their way of denying that they were responsible for the death of Jesus. If you're not careful, you could fail. You could fall into the same kind of hypocrisy and denial. Sometimes people hide behind righteous activities to conceal their terrible sins. You should take a moral inventory of your whole life and look into which of your actions do not line up with God's desire, His Word. If you deny even one area of sin, you can jeopardize your entire eternal soul, your eternal life. Chapter 27, verses 11 through 26. Pontius Pilate's handling of Jesus' trial shows that he was a man consumed with pleasing others. Although he was convinced that Jesus was an innocent man and righteous, chapter 27, verses 23 through 24, he bowed down to the mob, to the public. Pilate exemplified someone in need of being saved, born again of the Spirit, and having the fear of the Lord, who knows the right thing to do but doesn't have the courage to follow through and risk angering others. Since it is impossible to please the mob, or for that matter anyone, all the time, we must make sure that we do please the Lord. If we do, then what we are doing will be honest and forthright, pleasing to God. We must be more concerned about sinning against God than about angering people or pleasing people. Chapter 27, verses 26 through 54. The narrative of Jesus' crucifixion and death records one act of brutal abuse after another. Jesus was beaten, ridiculed, tortured, spit upon, had his beard torn out of his face, and killed.
See, but he continued on steadfastly, keeping the commandments. He never wearied of well-doing. Because if he had, there's no way, there would be no salvation for us. And so you people that have never gone, drawn blood, I mean, I've been stoned for the gospel myself. I haven't gone through everything that the Lord has by any means. I've been put in prison, stoned, put in jails, one after the other, falsely accused, assassinated character-wise. I've been shot at, spit on also, and many other things, but I'm still here preaching the gospel. And if you give up, if you don't carry on in steadfastness, if you don't continue to the end, you're lost. If you've already given up years ago, if I were you, which I'm not, and I'm glad I'm not, I would repent and get back to the Lord. And if you think you're rich, you better become poor, because richness has thrown many people's souls. Living in luxury. You know, we've even got people in this church that are asking for very expensive cowboy boots and cowboy hats. You know, they don't know. Evidently, the older Christians have not taught it, and this is the work of the Lord, and we're not here to satisfy your lusts for different sorts of clothes and all the other different things that people ask for. We've suit you up, and you should be thankful for whatever you get. Amen?
Amen.
Like the Hebrew children, they were happy about getting the wafers on the ground in the middle of the morning. In the morning, but a lot of them murmured and complained about that. What would it be if they didn't have that? They'd die of starvation. Okay, then what else?
When he was killed, he was nailed to the cross, pierced in his side. Thus, he can understand our feelings when we're being persecuted. He can understand very well the feelings of those who have been abused or oppressed. Jesus is also able to redeem oppressors or abusers who repent of their sins and begin believing, as did the Roman officer and other soldiers at the cross. Jesus' death and resurrection were intended to bring deliverance to everyone who believes. Chapter 27, verses 57 through 60. Joseph of Arimathea was a secret disciple of Jesus, John 19:38, who revealed his faith at a crucial point. He was like the people who toy with the gospel and toy with salvation and growing in the Lord in a limited and private sense, but then come to their senses. They come to the point of decision where they either have to reject their beliefs or make a stand, a deeper commitment to do what the Word of God, Jesus, says. Joseph's willingness to approach Pilate, as well as his generous burial of Jesus, indicates that he took a step of faith toward a stronger commitment to the Lord. What kind of crisis will it take to inspire you to devote your life wholeheartedly to the Lord and to His Word, which will cause you to grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ, because it is spirit and it is life? Chapter 27, verse 62 through 28, verse 15. The religious leaders went through a lot of trouble to be free of Jesus' message. They discredited him in front of the crowds and plotted his murder. When they caught him, they tried to come up with witnesses that had to convince Rome that Jesus should be killed. After Jesus' death, the leaders feared he would come back to life, so they sealed his tomb and guarded it. Finally, they invented a story to disclaim the disappearance of Jesus' body. It would have been easier to accept Jesus' message and make appropriate changes in their life, lives, and beliefs. You must not become so hardened by denial that you, like the Jewish leaders, go to great lengths to avoid accepting the life-saving message of the gospel, the good news, the Word of God.
All right, that was the commentary of chapter 27. And now, here is the message on regeneration, part 10.
Now the condition after regeneration, first thing, is a lot of people feel that their nature is corrupt after they've been regenerated. So at the time of regeneration, somehow they see that their nature is corrupt. But the right thing to see is their nature is corrupt, but you should feel clean. I know that after I was regenerated, I felt totally clean. I guess I had a more supernatural thing because it was the Lord talking to me and everything, really audibly. So some people always feel that their own nature is corrupt at that time. And number two, their heart is softened toward God. Their heart, which was hard as stone toward God before they were regenerated, having experienced repentance at the time of regeneration, God softens it. So it softens towards God and becomes, quote, a heart of flesh, Ezekiel 36:26. A heart having been softened desires to love God and draws near to God. It longs to contact everything spiritual that God has for us and gladly receives and obeys God's commands. It is not stubborn at all anymore, nor rebellious. Although at times it is unable to obey, yet it is still willing to obey. In the third place, our spirit is alive toward God. The spirit that was dead before regeneration or salvation or permanent life becomes, as its contact with God, God's life, permanent life at regeneration has been quickened by the resurrection power of God in Christ. The Spirit, having then been quickened or given the life-giving Spirit, is able to contact God, to fellowship with God, to apprehend the spiritual things of God, and it has the strength to do God's will. And fourthly, we have God's permanent, eternal, immortal life because we have contacted and received God's permanent life during regeneration. We have the life of God within us. At the same time, we also have God's nature within us, since God's nature is in God's permanent life.
You know, when people are hearing, that's the end of part 10 of regeneration. And tomorrow we'll be doing, God willing, chapter 28 of Matthew and part 11 of regeneration, unless the Lord gives me something else in the meantime to teach, and I'll be very happy to do whatever he tells me to do. But in the meantime, this program is reading through the Bible and teaching the Bible and teaching the way that the Bible tells you that you must live in order to enter the kingdom of God. So until tomorrow, keep your mind, your heart, your soul stayed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. Continue believing it, and whenever the Lord tells you to do something, do it. And you know that the Lord is never going to tell you to do anything that the Bible tells you not to do. He's never going to tell you to get an abortion. He's never going to tell you to commit suicide. He's never going to tell you to kill anybody or to use carnal weapons. Anytime you hear a spirit like that, do you know that is not the Lord, it's Satan. So just follow the simple blueprint of the Word of God. You know, surgeons go to universities to learn how to operate on people. If they started doing their own method of operating on someone, they would kill them. But so therefore it's the same thing with you and I. If we start doing deviating from what the blueprint of how to enter the kingdom of heaven, you're not only killing yourself, but all the souls that you would have been able to bring into the kingdom of heaven with you. Well, anyway, this is Pastor Alamo, and until tomorrow, chapter 28, Matthew, and part 11 of regeneration, God, keep your mind and soul on the Lord. In Jesus' name, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.